Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. You're listening to the Qalam podcast. Alhamdulillah, for over a decade, Qalam has had the opportunity and the blessing to serve the community. And after serving the community for an entire decade and benefiting millions of people all around the world, we have reaffirmed our commitment to making Islamic knowledge accessible for all, making sure each and every single person, no matter where they are in the world, they have the ability and the opportunity to learn about the beauty of Islam. So therefore, we are conducting more classes online than ever before, videos, podcasts, recordings, we're making all of it available. We ask you to support us and become our partner in this mission and cause of educating the whole world about the beautiful religion of Islam by going to supportqalam.com. Go to supportqalam.com, make a generous contribution. Inshallah, you are investing into the mission and the cause of teaching people about Islam worldwide. Millions of people have benefited, and we hope that hundreds of millions more will benefit, inshallah. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, Ustaz.
All right, I think we're live. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam wa ala rasulullah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, everybody, and welcome to our 10th night here of the recitation and reflection brought to you by Qalam. Alhamdulillah, it's our honor and pleasure to do this every night in exploration and recitation of the Quran. As we always mention and never loses importance, we are sponsored by the great brothers and sisters at Helping Hands for Relief and Development. They do amazing work, and especially now in the times of COVID-19, all of the work that they're doing is being highlighted, and the necessity is even more dire. And so I really, really want to implore everybody to head on over to hhrd.org/Ramadan. And it doesn't matter how much you can give, but I want everyone, inshallah, before, you know, the night's end or the month's end, to be committed to donating, inshallah, to that cause. Inshallah, tonight we'll be going through the end of Surah Anfal, and we'll be going through Surah Tawbah, inshallah, juz number 10. I have with me one of my favorites, alhamdulillah, Hafiz Shahir, mashallah, one of our students in the second year of the Qalam Seminary. Shahir, mashallah, is from the DMV area, right, Shahir?
Yes.
Yeah. Which part? The D, the M, or the V? The V, right?
The V.
Yeah, it's from Virginia, mashallah. Shahir is with us in our second year of the Qalam program, which is the foundational Islamic studies year, where we cover, we go through, mashallah, a very beautiful survey, an in-depth survey of all of the Islamic sciences, mashallah, you know, studying multiple hours per day, multiple months in the year, alhamdulillah, 10 months a year. So he's part of that year, and I get to see him, alhamdulillah, in my class, each week. So he'll be reciting, inshallah, and I will be doing the reflections, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. We are starting, inshallah, on our first page will be the ayat of Surah Al-Anfal, ayah number 41. Sah, Shahir?
Yes.
We're there? Okay, good. So in the 10th juz, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he concludes the themes that what he was discussing in Surah Al-Anfal, and then he introduces in Surah Tawbah some of the conduct and some of the protocol for engaging in conflict. And this, obviously, when you read through the verses, you might see some things that are very specific. And that is going to be the case when you read through certain portions of the Quran, certainly through the Madani portions of the Quran. There's going to be some specific references to certain tribes, certain groups within the Muslim community even. But there's always going to be some universal practicality and universal application to the things that we read. So on the first page, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a few points. The first is that true faith, the trueness of somebody's faith, because everybody claims, but to make sure that that faith is validated, there are certain essential indicators that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us to prove that to ourselves. And even those people who participated in a battle like Badr, which is what Surah Al-Anfal is referring to, those who participated in Badr, which was a phenomenal miracle to the Muslim community, even they had an indication of whether or not their faith was qualitatively sound. And that indication was whether or not, when it came to the distribution of the spoils of war, whether or not they would adhere to what Allah and His Messenger had ordained, or whether or not they would have their own ideas about how to distribute the wealth after the war. So even those people that had just given their life and put their lives on the line at Badr and had engaged in something that was statistically impossible, even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then has given these individuals something to think about when it comes to the quality of their faith. So for us, the lesson comes that when we believe in Allah, ultimately our indication of the strength of our faith is how ready we are to submit to what Allah and His Messenger have told us. If we're not ready, if we don't have that readiness, then we have faith, but the faith is not as strong as it could be. Later on in the page, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentions certain things like the location, the timing, and even the amount of people in the Battle of Badr was something that was not an accident. You know, when you read the seerah, sometimes it's easy to come across Badr as almost like it happened to the Muslims, that it wasn't something that was part of the plan. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us and the believers in Surah Anfal that it was part of His plan. And in fact, it was exactly what His plan was. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions specifically that He doesn't tell everybody the details of every plan in their life, including the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Not every detail is revealed so that we don't get caught up and distracted by the details. This makes us practice our element of trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, without which the faith that we have is incomplete. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us sometimes things in life, but will not give us all the details so that we can work on our trust of Him. And with that, inshallah, we'll begin. Bismillah.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم واعلموا أنما غنمتم من شيء فأن لله خمسه وللرسول ولذي القربى واليتامى والمساكين وابن السبيل إن كنتم آمنتم بالله وما أنزلنا على عبدنا يوم الفرقان يوم التقى الجمعان والله على كل شيء قدير إذ أنتم بالعدوة الدنيا وهم بالعدوة القصوى والركب أسفل منكم ولو تواعدتم لاختلفتم في الميعاد ولكن ليقضي الله أمرا كان مفعولا ليهلك من هلك عن بينة ويحيى من حي عن بينة وإن الله لسميع عليم إذ يريكهم الله في منامك قليلا ولو أراكهم كثيرا لفشلتم ولتنازعتم في الأمر ولكن الله سلم إنه عليم بذات الصدور وإذ يريكموهم إذ التقيتم في أعينكم قليلا ويقللكم في أعينهم ليقضي الله أمرا كان مفعولا وإلى الله ترجع الأمور يا أيها الذين آمنوا إذا لقيتم فئة فاثبتوا
Sorry, everyone. So at the end of the page that Hafiz Shahir just recited, and now going to the next page, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions إِذَا لَقِيتُمْ فِيَةً, that if you meet a group, that you should stand firm and remember Allah ta'ala much. This is talking actually about when the believers were set to meet a group. This is talking about when the believers were set to meet a group in the battlefield. And it's interesting here that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving them a spiritual recommendation, something that doesn't seem to have anything to do with war strategy when they're about to meet people in the battlefield, when the reality is that this is something that is definitely going to increase in the barakah of their what they're about to take place in. And so here we take a huge lesson here that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells even the believers that are about to engage in battle, that remembrance of Allah never goes to waste. Remembrance of Allah will only make you successful in whatever moment you're about to embark in. The next thing that will make you successful after remembering Allah begins on the next page. Ayah number 46, Allah ta'ala mentions obedience to Allah and His Messenger is another key condition for the success, as well as not disputing with people that you're with and also being patient when things get difficult. These are some of the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala highlights as being the key to success in any endeavor that you take in life, but especially for those people that are in very high stakes endeavors like the battlefield. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that ultimately it is Shaytan who is the one who promises us things that even he himself won't follow through on. Shaytan promises us things, tells us to disobey Allah and that we will have, you know, happiness and pleasure and tranquility and all these things. And then Shaytan leaves us just like he left the Quraysh in the battlefield at Badr. He abandoned them. And when they asked him, why are you abandoning? He said, I see what's happening and I fear Allah. So Shaytan is so, he has such a lack of a spine that he will tell us to do things that even he won't be with us when. And when you see in the Day of Judgment, later in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the conversation that Shaytan has. And he actually says, when Allah ta'ala is asking us, you know, why we committed certain sins, Shaytan will say, I didn't do anything but just whisper to them. And then I left them alone. So Shaytan's trying to always shed himself from blame. What's the lesson here? If Shaytan is trying to get us to do something, realize that he is getting us to do that for our own misery. He's not even going to be with us if we do it and if we have to be punished for it. So there's no reason to do anything that Shaytan tries to tempt us to do.
وَأَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَلَا تَنَازَعُوا فَتَفْشَلُوا وَتَذْهَبَ رِيحُكُمْ وَاصْبِرُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ خَرَجُوا مِنْ دِيَارِهِمْ بَطَرًا وَرِئَاءَ النَّاسِ وَيَصُدُّونَ عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ بِمَا يَعْمَلُونَ مُحِيطٌ وَإِذْ زَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ أَعْمَالَهُمْ وَقَالَ لَا غَالِبَ لَكُمُ الْيَوْمَ مِنَ النَّاسِ وَإِنِّي جَارٌ لَكُمْ فَلَمَّا تَرَاءَتِ الْفِئَتَانِ نَكَصَ عَلَى عَقِبَيْهِ وَقَالَ إِنِّي بَرِيءٌ مِنْكُمْ إِنِّي أَرَى مَا لَا تَرَوْنَ إِنِّي أَخَافُ اللَّهَ وَاللَّهُ شَدِيدُ الْعِقَابِ إِذْ يقول المنافقون والذين في قلوبهم مرض غر هؤلاء دينهم ومن يتوكل على الله فإن الله عزيز حكيم ولو ترى إذ يتوفى الذين كفروا الملائكة يضربون وجوههم وأدبارهم وذوقوا عذاب الحريق ذلك بما قدمت أيديكم وأن الله ليس بظلام للعبيد كدأب آل فرعون والذين من قبلهم كفروا بآيات الله فأخذهم الله بذنوبهم إن الله قوي شديد العقاب.
The end of the last page, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about some of the perspectives of the hypocrites. Remember, we talked before about what the hypocrites are, those who masquerade as faithful people, but in their heart, they want nothing more than the destruction of Islam and the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So one of the signs of hypocrisy, which is actually very scary, is that when a hypocrite sees a believer trusting in Allah, they say that that person is delusional. They say that that person, غَرَ هَؤُلَاءِ دِينُهُمْ, that this person, their deen has deluded them. Like they're like enchanted by this belief that they're in. And this is interesting because you see oftentimes that whenever people do try to have firm faith in their creator and in their sustainer, a lot of times the way that the popular culture addresses these people is that they are actually delusional. But we know, and people of faith know, that we're taught in the Quran that trust in God is not a delusion, but rather it's a huge solution to so many of our problems. There's so many things, especially now with coronavirus, there's so many question marks that are up in the air. And this entire situation is reminding us ultimately that we're not in control. And so what else is there to do but trust Allah? And oftentimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove so many elements of our situation to remind us that this trust always has to be there. Sometimes we become a little bit confident and we think that we don't need Allah, but then Allah ta'ala will humble us and remind us that yes, you always need Allah. So never lose that trust, no matter what the hypocrites say or not. The next page, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues and talks about one of the downfalls or one of the reasons why people have downfall in their life. And that is because they decided to stray themselves away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he mentions in ayah 53 that Allah ta'ala would never abandon anybody or change anybody's favors unless they change something about themselves. So ultimately, whenever we look at a situation in our life, whenever we're being tested, the first place that a believer should look is internally. And we should see, what can I be doing to change the situation to restore the favor that I wanted to have? Allah ta'ala then continues and tells us that the worst kind of person is the one who is obstinate in their disbelief. They never, ever give it a shot. They never even look into any sort of lifestyle or change that would allow them to receive guidance. And they permanently try to exclude themselves from faith. And one of the signs of these people is that they never, ever are able to maintain their agreements. They always break their trusts and their treaties, just like they did with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah finishes this page as he always does. Whenever he's stern, he always finishes with mercy. And he tells us that there's always a way out. If anybody, you know, even if they're at war with Muslims, if they want peace, then Allah ta'ala tells them, incline towards peace, reinforcing the principle that this warfare in general is not even about conquering land or becoming dominant, but rather to establish peace and justice on earth.
ذلك بأن الله لم يكن مغيرا نعمة أنعمها على قوم حتى يغيروا ما بأنفسهم وأن الله سميع عليم كدأب آل فرعون والذين من قبلهم كذبوا بآيات ربهم فأهلكناهم بذنوبهم وأغرقنا آل فرعون وكل كانوا ظالمين إن شر الدواب عند الله الذين كفروا فهم لا يؤمنون الذين عاهدت منهم ثم ينقضون عهدهم في كل مرة وهم لا يتقون فإما تثقفنهم في الحرب فشرد بهم من خلفهم لعلهم يذكرون وإما تخافن من قوم خيانة فانبذ إليهم على سواء إن الله لا يحب الخائنين ولا يحسبن الذين كفروا سبقوا إنهم لا يعجزون وأعدوا لهم ما استطعتم من قوة وبالرباط الخيل ترهبون به عدو الله وعدوكم وآخرين من دونهم لا تعلمونهم الله يعلمهم وما تنفقوا من شيء في سبيل الله يوفى إليكم وأنتم لا تظلمون وإن جنحوا للسلم فاجنح لها وتوكل على الله إنه هو السميع العليم.
In the next page, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions a beautiful point in which he says that a person's faith or a group of people, their faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it brings hearts together in a way that nothing else can. Like no material means, no social class, no category, no university that everyone attended, no country, no nationalism. Nothing can bring together hearts like faith. And if you've ever seen the Kaaba, Masjid al-Haram, or Masjid Nabawi, and seen just the absolute beautiful image of people praying there together, may Allah Ta'ala open it for us and let us return there safely, inshallah, then you know that this is absolutely true. Allah Ta'ala mentions that this deen brings hearts together like nothing else could. And this is from His majesty and His wisdom that He did this. So Allah Ta'ala tells us and reminds us, and the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam specifically, but also us as well, that Allah Ta'ala will always be enough for us. Hasbukallahu. That Allah Ta'ala will always, always be enough for you, O Messenger of Allah. And he's telling this to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the middle of this chaos sometimes, in Badr and other places, when there's hypocrites and there's people who are abandoning him and there's people who are attacking him and sabotaging him. And he's telling the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that God will always be enough for you, that you don't ever have to rely on anybody else. And later in Surah At-Tawbah, he mentions a beautiful example that we'll save for then. And he says, and those people who follow you from the believers. So Allah Ta'ala is telling us He's got our back. There's no reason why we should ever let our anxiety or our stress about life get to us when Allah Ta'ala tells us, as long as we stick near the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we'll be good. The proximity and the closeness we have to the Messenger of Allah will dictate how safe we are. Like a child sticks and clings onto their parents when they're walking through a strange area or an area they're not used to. Allah Ta'ala finishes the page by then reminding the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the believers that they're in a situation that they're definitely scared of, the idea of going to battle, and they know that their numbers are very outnumbered. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells them that even if you only had 20, that you could beat 200. And even if you only had 100, you could beat 1,000, because there's barakah in following Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have never been a faith of quantity over quality. We've never been a religion of that from day one. From the time the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam received revelation, it's never been about numbers. We've always relied more upon the blessings of God than we have the numbers of people. And this is the way that Allah Ta'ala designed this world, and this is the way that we have to be if we want to be successful.
وإن يريدوا أن يخدعوك فإن حسبك الله هو الذي أيدك بنصره وبالمؤمنين وألف بين قلوبهم لو أنفقت ما في الأرض جميعا ما ألفت بين قلوبهم ولكن الله ألف بينهم إنه عزيز حكيم يا أيها النبي حسبك الله ومن اتبعك من المؤمنين يا أيها النبي حرض المؤمنين على القتال إن يكن منكم 20 صابرون يغلبوا 200 وإن يكن منكم 100 يغلبوا 1000 من الذين كفروا بأنهم قوم لا يفقهون الآن خفف الله عنكم وعلم أن فيكم ضعفا فإن يكن منكم 100 صابرة يغلبوا 200 وإن يكن منكم 1000 يغلبوا 2000 بإذن الله والله مع الصابرين ما كان لنبي أن يكون له أسرى حتى يثخن في الأرض تريدون عرض الدنيا والله يريد الآخرة والله عزيز حكيم لولا كتاب من الله سبق لمسكم فيما أخذتم عذاب عظيم فكلوا مما غنمتم حلالا طيبا واتقوا الله إن الله غفور رحيم.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions that there is in fact a difference in the status of different people in the community. And he mentions, azza wa jal, that there are people who have believed and migrated and sacrificed everything that they had to come with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then there are those people who believed, but they didn't quite make it to the stage of migration because obviously it's asking a lot of people and there's an element of humanity there. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't excommunicate those people and he doesn't tell them that they're not true believers and he doesn't tell them that they're not real. But he does mention to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he has a deeper and more priority responsibility to those people who invested everything, those people who gave everything. Now, this is specific to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This doesn't mean that community members can walk around and ask how dedicated each other is and figure out what level of friendship they have. But this is teaching us something. That the more that you give up for the sake of Allah, the higher in priority you are to God and to His Messenger. Those people that have sacrificed will ultimately be rewarded by proximity to God and His Messenger. Those of us that struggle to sacrifice, it doesn't mean that our faith is not legitimate or real. It just means that we're not as advanced as those that have trusted Allah enough to sacrifice what they have for His sake.
يا أيها النبي قل لمن في أيديكم من الأسرى يعلم الله في قلوبكم خيرا يؤتكم خيرا مما أخذ منكم ويغفر لكم والله غفور رحيم وإن يريدوا خيانتك فقد خانوا الله من قبل فأمكن منهم والله عليم حكيم إن الذين آمنوا وهاجروا وجاهدوا بأموالهم وأنفسهم في سبيل الله والذين آووا ونصروا أولئك بعضهم أولياء بعض والذين آمنوا ولم يهاجروا ما لكم من ولايتهم من شيء حتى يهاجروا وإن استنصروكم في الدين فعليكم النصر إلا على قوم بينكم وبينهم ميثاق والله بما تعملون بصير والذين كفروا بعضهم أولياء بعض إلا تفعلوه تكون فتنة في الأرض وفساد كبير والذين آمنوا وهاجروا وجاهدوا في سبيل الله والذين آووا ونصروا أولئك هم المؤمنون حقا لهم مغفرة ورزق كريم والذين آمنوا من بعد وهاجروا وجاهدوا معكم فأولئك منكم وأولو الأرحام بعضهم أولى ببعض في كتاب الله
And that's the conclusion of Surah Anfal. Inshallah, we'll start now with Surah Tawbah, which is the next page, which would be page number 6 of this juz, inshallah. Surah Tawbah is one of the last surahs that was revealed in the Quran, one of the last, according to some of the Mufassirun. It is ultimately a conclusion of so many of the protocol of how to deal with different groups within the community or within the Arabian Peninsula in general, how to deal with the Muslim community, of course, how to deal with those who denied the Prophet ﷺ and who had enmity and were fighting the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the Muslim community, and also those who were fighting from within, the hypocrites. And there's a large portion that's dedicated to them. And that's where we'll finish off tonight, inshallah. But each of the sections kind of has its own distinct, theme and flavor. And you'll be able to pick up on when they transition. I'll tell you as well, but you'll be able to see based on how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking, through this surah, inshallah. The first page, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that there are certain tribes and certain groups of people that had different treaties with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with the Muslim community. And that those treaties officially now, as a result of the surah being revealed, would be expired either immediately or they would finish out their term, depending on the relationship that the Muslims had with these people. And again, this wasn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pulling the rug out. You know, if you read this without understanding the surah, then you think, wow, that's kind of harsh. Like, why is Allah just kind of pulling the rug out from these people and telling them that their contracts are voided? This is coming after, you know, for some tribes, almost a decade, and for some of the tribes, maybe 2-3 years of constant and persistent sabotage and constant and persistent violation of the code within the treaties. As a result, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the Muslims permission now to violate those treaties. So if you think about it that way, despite the violation and the sabotaging that was occurring to the Muslims, they still honored their end of the agreement. So now Allah is commanding the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the Muslims that now you have to go ahead and void these treaties. It's no longer about honoring your agreements. Now it's about protecting yourself and taking a stance that preserves your right and your justice. Also, the principle here that we'll take, which is really important, is that the default is mercy in Islam. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that you weren't sent except that you're mercy for people. You know, wherever the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is, there's mercy. But we can't forsake mercy for the believers in a attempt to be merciful to the rest of everybody else. And so the believers were being walked all over and they were being violated and their sheep were being stolen and their property was being damaged and their lives were being taken. And there was still an element of keeping that treaty. And now we're learning that there is an element of justice, that we don't get walked on for the sake of being merciful.
بَرَاءَةٌ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ إِلَى الَّذِينَ عَاهَدْتُمْ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ فَسِيحُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ 4 أشهر وَاعْلَمُوا أَنَّكُمْ غَيْرُ مُعْجِزِ اللَّهِ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ مُخْزِي الْكَافِرِينَ وَأَذَانٌ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ إِلَى النَّاسِ يَوْمَ الْحَجِّ الْأَكْبَرِ أَنَّ اللَّهَ بَرِيءٌ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ وَرَسُولُهُ فَإِن تُبْتُمْ فَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَّكُمْ وَإِن تَوَلَّيْتُمْ فَاعْلَمُوا أَنَّكُمْ غير معجز الله وبشر الذين كفروا بعذاب أليم إلا الذين عاهدتم من المشركين ثم لم ينقصوكم شيئا ولم يظاهروا عليكم أحدا فأتموا إليهم عهدهم إلى مدتهم إن الله يحب المتقين فإذا انسلخ الأشهر الحرم فاقتلوا المشركين حيث وجدتموهم وخذوهم واحصروهم واقعدوا لهم كل مقصد فإن تابوا وأقاموا الصلاة وآتوا الزكاة فخلوا سبيلهم إن الله غفور رحيم وإن أحد من المشركين استجارك فأجره حتى يسمع كلام الله ثم أبلغه مأمنه ذلك بأنهم قوم لا يعلمون.
It's very interesting, subhanAllah finishes that page by mentioning that, you know, there are the people that are at war with you, you're allowed to engage them in battle, and you're allowed to, you know, even preemptively engage them in battle if they're planning or strategizing, which they constantly were, once the sacred months have passed. So there is, you know, subhanAllah, we're not, if the religion was all about, you know, warfare and barbaric warfare, there wouldn't be such a thing as sacred months where nobody could fight and nobody could engage in that kind of battle. But there is, in the Islamic tradition, sacred months, months that, you know, even before Islam were passed on into Islam by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where no warfare could happen. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, once those months have passed, then you're allowed to go ahead and re-engage in the battles that you were fighting. And if these people, while you're fighting them, I want you to imagine now, like you're fighting somebody, somebody is, you know, they've taken your land, they've killed your family, you know, there's all this bad blood between people. But if they repent and if they pray and if they give charities, zakat, then they are now Muslims. And there are so many narrations in hadith where the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam even would reprimand somebody for killing somebody who said their shahada last second, right before they died. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he asked that companion, did you know what was in their heart? You just assumed that they said Shahada to save themselves, but what if they actually meant it? And they may have meant it. And to you, they did mean it. So did you know what was in their heart? Did you peel back their chest and see whether or not they were sincere? So Allah Ta'ala, it's so beautiful how even in the moments of pursuing justice and peace on earth, really, ultimately, there is nothing personal here. And if somebody recommits back to justice and faith, then they now have left the group of people that are fighting anybody. And Allah Ta'ala even says that, you know, if a person is in your protection, then it's your job to honor that. It's your job to make sure that they're protected, even if they're from the mushrikeen, right? And if one of them from the mushrikeen is in your protection, then you have to protect them. But Allah Ta'ala also says, you know, go ahead and give them some, teach them some of the book of Allah. But when it comes time to deliver them to who they're going to, then deliver them. And, you know, this is ultimately because they're people who don't know. On the next page, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala mentions that one of the reasons why it was so difficult for these tribes that were going and attacking the Muslims to get along with the Muslims or even to accept faith in general is because ultimately when they had a choice between following Allah and following themselves, they chose everything else in the world before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And even though this choice seems ultimately personal, you know, this is like a big issue now when it comes to politics. Like, what is it if my choice, like how does my choice affect everybody else? But in reality, sins don't stop with us, right? If I commit a sin, I'm part of a greater network of people called my family. And that family is going to have to live with the sin that I have. And we are part of a greater network called the community. And that community is going to have to live with the sin that I have. So if I'm okay with my sin, which started personal, true, it starts personal. If I'm okay with that growing to my family and then my community, ultimately, I'm impacting the rest of society. And this is the argument that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala places forward when he says that this is why morality and virtue is something that has to be encouraged in society. People have to be taught about the right way to live life.
كيف يكون للمشركين عهد عند الله وعند رسوله إلا الذين عاهدتم عند المسجد الحرام فما استقاموا لكم فاستقيموا لهم إن الله يحب المتقين كيف وإن يظهروا عليكم لا يرقبوا فيكم إلا ولا ذمة يرضونكم بأفواههم وتأبى قلوبهم وأكثرهم فاسقون اشتروا بآيات الله ثمنا قليلا فصدوا عن سبيله إنهم ساء ما كانوا يعملون لا يرقبون في مؤمن إلا ولا ذمة وأولئك هم المعتدون فإن تابوا وأقاموا الصلاة وآتوا الزكاة فإخوانكم في الدين ونفصل الآيات لقوم يعلمون وإن نكثوا أيمانهم من بعد عهدهم وطعنوا في دينكم فقاتلوا أئمة الكفر إنهم لا أيمان لهم لعلهم ينتهون ألا تقاتلون قوما نكثوا أيمانهم وهموا بإخراج الرسول وهم بدؤوكم أول مرة أتخشونهم فالله أحق أن تخشوه إن كنتم مؤمنين.
In the next page, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the advice that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving to the believers for wanting to engage or for engaging in battle against those people who violated the treaties against them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds these people that ultimately the service is to Allah. And you even saw that in the previous page when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that if these people that you're fighting against accept Islam, then there's no grudges between you anymore. It's not personal. Now they're your brothers in faith, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. So he's giving now this protocol, but now he's telling the believers that what you have to feel inside of yourself is that this is not about you, and this is about service to Allah. And that when it comes to the persistent violence that's being perpetrated against your community, that's what you're fighting against. And in this case, it's after a decade of diplomacy, you know, and trying to defend themselves from the constant arms that are being taken up against them. But in reality, Allah Ta'ala is reminding these believers, and especially those people who don't want to, because there's a difficulty in getting up and going and defending yourself. You know, there's a difficulty in getting up and doing anything. Even if it's right, Allah Ta'ala is teaching us that we may not want to engage in something. We may actually prefer even the lesser of energy, the lesser of effort, even if it's something that's annoying long term. But we have to do what's right and what's best for us, because the ultimate good can never be denied. Whatever Allah Ta'ala commands of us, it is the ultimate good. And there's no other way to achieve it. There's no, you know, course of action like path number B or path number two. No, it's what Allah Ta'ala commanded of us. And the sooner we submit to that, the better it becomes. And Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala also then towards the end of this page starts to introduce some of the limitations on the houses of Allah, the masajid, which is going to be a new theme that we're going to see in the surah.
قاتلوهم يعذبهم الله بأيديكم ويخزهم وينصركم عليهم ويشفي صدور قوم مؤمنين ويذهب غيظ قلوبهم ويتوب الله على من يشاء والله عليم حكيم أم حسبتم أن تتركوا ولما يعلم الله الذين جاهدوا منكم ولم يتخذوا من دون الله ولا رسوله ولا المؤمنين وليجة والله خبير بما تعملون ما كان للمشركين أن يعمروا مساجد الله شاهدين على أنفسهم بالكفر أولئك حبطت أعمالهم وفي النار هم خالدون إنما يعمر مساجد الله من آمن بالله واليوم الآخر وأقام الصلاة وآتى الزكاة ولم يخش إلا الله فعسى أولئك أن يكونوا من المهتدين أجعلتم سقاية الحاج وعمارة المسجد الحرام كمن آمن بالله واليوم الآخر وجاهد في سبيل الله لا يستوون عند الله والله لا يهدي القوم الظالمين الذين آمنوا وهاجروا وجاهدوا في سبيل الله بأموالهم وأنفسهم أعظم درجة عند الله وأولئك هم الفائزون.
In the next page, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about those believers who would then sacrifice. They would step up to the plate and do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking them in their personal life, in their public life, that they would not just try to skate by with the bare minimum, but they're actually going to try to elevate and do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks of them and commands of them following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he mentions that for those people, those ones who sacrificed, they're the ones that are going to be given this incredible reward that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises. This reward of Jannah that language really can't even fully grasp, right? The quality of their reward. Allah ta'ala describes it in words for us because that's what we're used to. But there's so many things Allah ta'ala says where he says, وَلَدَيْنَا مَزِيدٌ, and with me is even greater than that. Or we'll taste a fruit in Jannah and we'll say, this tastes like that fruit that we had on earth, but it's so much better. It's just impossible for Allah Ta'ala, or it's possible for Allah, but it's impossible for us to understand the reality of Jannah because we're so limited in our intellect. And so Allah Ta'ala says that for those people who gave everything up for Allah, they're going to get everything and more. They're going to get everything and more in paradise. Ayah number 23 also presents a very difficult proposal, which is that even if people that are as close to you as your father or your brother, your family, if they have preferred the disbelief over belief, then they are the ones that you have to identify as people that are no longer part of your inner circle, right? They're no longer part of your close knit, because faith is thicker than blood. So if these people have identified with the people who are attacking the Muslims, those who are rejecting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the fact that you share a lineage or share a last name, it doesn't mean anything. The beauty behind this verse is that it's obviously very emotional for somebody to hear this, especially brothers and sisters in our community who accepted Islam, you know, later on in life, our convert brothers and sisters. Obviously hearing this is something that's very difficult, but the reality is that Allah is sending this to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who had to do this. He's sending this to the companions who were converts themselves, who had to do this. So Allah's not sending this to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to teach to people, and he himself never had to do this. No, he witnessed his own uncle passing away, and his uncle stuck to the belief of their forefathers as he's begging him to give him one word, give me one thing that I can take to Allah on your behalf, and I will testify for you until you're with me in Jannah. And his uncle chooses the way of the polytheists and the pagans before him. And that absolutely just distressed the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to such degree. So this verse is difficult, but it's also something that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had to live through. And verse number 24 is kind of like one of the themes of this surah, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying that, what are you willing to give up for the sake of Allah? You know, what are you willing to give up? Everything in this life is going to be a test for you. Everything in this life at some point or another is going to potentially come in between you and Allah. Even your family, even your children that you love. You know, you might love cuddling with your kids so much that you forget to pray dhuhr. You know, you might love spending money on your kids so much that you forget to donate charity, that you donate to your kids more than you donate to the orphans. So everything in life, even things that are good, could become a roadblock between you and Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking us, you know, how strong are you willing to sacrifice for the sake of Allah? Are you willing to even give up things that you love? And are you willing to put pause on things that you love for the sake of Allah? And it's easy for those people who can do that, except for those people who have fisq, they're defiantly disobedient of Allah.
يبشرهم ربهم برحمة منه ورضوان وجنات لهم فيها نعيم مقيم خالدين فيها أبدا إن الله عنده أجر عظيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تتخذوا آباءكم وإخوانكم أولياء إن استحبوا الكفر على الإيمان ومن يتولهم منكم فأولئك هم الظالمون قل إن كان آباؤكم وأبناؤكم وإخوانكم وأزواجكم وعشيرتكم وأموال اقترفتموها وتجارة تخشون كسادها ومساكن ترضونها أحب إليكم من الله ورسوله وجهاد في سبيله فتربصوا حتى يأتي الله بأمره والله لا يهدي القوم الفاسقين لقد نصركم الله في مواطن كثيرة ويوم حنين إذ أعجبتكم كثرتكم فلم تغن عنكم شيئا وضاقت عليكم الأرض بما رحبت ثم وليتم مدبرين ثم أنزل الله سكينته على رسوله وعلى المؤمنين وأنزل جنودا لم تروها وعذب الذين كفروا وذلك جزاء الكافرين.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala finishes that last page with a reference to the Battle of Hunain, which was a battle that the Prophet ﷺ and the believers fought between the 8th and 9th year after the Hijra, the migration from Mecca to Medina. And that battle was characterized actually very interestingly as a battle in which the Muslims had a lot of numbers, a lot of quantity of people. And because of that, they felt a little bit more comfortable going into that battle than they did in previous battles, but they still struggled and they still found it difficult until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down aid to the believers. So this is something that's really powerful, subhanAllah. Allah Ta'ala is teaching us that when we rely on ourselves, when we think that we have it under control, then no matter how much we think we have it under control, we're going to end up short, right? So we might think that we have everything planned out, but we're going to forget something. But if we rely on Allah, then no matter how much we think we're going to end up short, we're always going to make it, right? We're always going to make it. And this is one of those powerful lessons of faith, is that if you have Allah, you have everything. But if you forget Allah, no matter how much you think you have, you're not going to have enough.
ثم يتوب الله من بعد ذلك على من يشاء والله غفور رحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا إنما المشركون نجس فلا يقربوا المسجد الحرام بعد عامهم هذا وإن خفتم عيلة فسوف يغنيكم الله من فضله إن شاء إن الله عليم حكيم قاتلوا الذين لا يؤمنون بالله ولا باليوم الآخر ولا يحرمون ما حرم الله ورسوله ولا يدينون دين الحق من الذين أوتوا الكتاب حتى يعطوا الجزية عن يد وهم صاغرون وقالت اليهود عزير بن الله وقالت النصارى المسيح بن الله ذلك قولهم بأفواههم يضاهئون قول الذين كفروا من قبل قاتلهم الله أنى يؤفكون اتخذوا أحبارهم ورهبانهم أربابا من دون الله والمسيح ابن مريم وما أمروا إلا ليعبدوا إلها واحدا لا إله إلا هو سبحانه عما يشركون.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala finishes the last page by discussing some of the realities of the mushrikeen and how this is when the official pronouncement of the mushrikeen, or those who are not believers, being banned from Masjid al-Haram, it is officially put into place. That this is something now that it is, you know, this place is so pure and so sanctified that anybody with an impure belief system coming into it that doesn't recognize the sanctity and the value of this place, doesn't believe in the sanctity and value of this place, cannot be allowed to come in. It's not a tourist site. It's not a place for people to go and visit and appreciate the historic nature of it. This is a place of worship. And because of that, there's a certain protocol and a requirement to get in. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that there is now a command for the believers to take up arms against those people that have fought against them who don't believe in Allah, don't believe in the messenger, or those people can either fight or they can pay what's called the jizya, which is basically a protection tax which is nearly equivalent to the zakat rate. And so it's people essentially paying a protection tax from the Muslims. So it's not always fight to the death, right, in the Islamic history. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the next page is going to speak about a certain effort that people will take, those people who have identified themselves against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they will say that, you know, they will always try to make the religion of Allah like dim. They're always going to try to like throw shade on it, right? To use some lingo that we're used to. They're always going to try to extinguish the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with their mouths. Like they're going to try to speak about it and hate on it and climb up to the highest mountain and talk, you know, poorly about Islam. But Allah ta'ala will never let his light be anything but perfect. And the next verse tells us how. Because he sent the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whose job was to guide us to the religion of truth. Thus, we become a part, right? If you look at that verse number 32, people are trying to extinguish the light of Allah, and Allah will make that light perfect. And Allah Ta'ala will, do this, even though the disbelievers dislike it, by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's example. You and I become a means by which Allah Ta'ala has perfected this light. And so the way in which we act, the modeling that we take, if we follow the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then this light of Allah, it doesn't matter how many people talk trash about Islam. You've seen it time and time again, the stories time and time again. Many of you maybe even who are watching are part of this experience, that people have said such hurtful and horrible things about Allah and Islam and the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but there are people at a greater number who are falling deeply in love with Allah, deeply in love with Islam and with the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Why? Because it doesn't matter what people say, it matters how people feel. And when they see that example, it's you can't deny it. It's undeniable. It's magnetic. We ask Allah Ta'ala to make us proofs of this religion, and we ask Allah that this religion does not become a proof against us. I mean, go ahead.
يريدون أن يطفئوا نور الله بأفواههم ويأبى الله إلا أن يتم نوره ولو كره الكافرون هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون يا أيها الذين آمنوا إن كثيرا من الأحبار والرهبان ليأكلون أموال الناس بالباطل ويصدون عن سبيل الله والذين يكنزون الذهب والفضة ولا ينفقونها في سبيل الله فبشرهم بعذاب أليم يوم يحمى عليها في نار جهنم فتكوى بها جباههم وجنوبهم وظهورهم هذا ما كنزتم لأنفسكم فذوقوا ما كنتم تكنزون إن عدة الشهور عند الله 12 شهرا في كتاب الله يوم خلق السماوات والأرض منها أربعة حرم ذلك الدين القيم فلا تظلموا فيهن أنفسكم وقاتلوا المشركين كافة كما يقاتلونكم كافة واعلموا أن الله مع المتقين.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala finishes the last page and begins the next page by talking about how some things in this religion are arbitrary. Arbitrary is a word that means that they're just set by somebody, in this case Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he says that the number of months is 12 and the number of sacred months are 4. And then he begins the next page by saying that if anybody tries to postpone or do any, you know, mess with anything within the sacred months, then that's an action of disbelief, right? And that's something which the disbelievers did. Somebody might ask, like, what's so special about these months? Like, you know, why can we not do the same things in these months? And that's the answer that we always say, which is Allah knows best. But our test is to submit to Allah, not to rationalize and understand everything. Later in the page, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he asks the believers about their adherence to their land. And that's the reason why so many of the believers might feel in their heart this disdain for going out and protecting the ummah and defending the ummah at arms. And then he says that, you know, ultimately, if you're choosing this land over the next life, which is what somebody is doing when they choose their land over obeying Allah and his messenger, when they're choosing this life over the next life, he's saying, you're going to find that this life is insignificant. And that's the conversation that's going to happen on the Day of Judgment. Those people who will say, you know, it's going to feel like we were just in that dunya for like a day or like an hour or like a moment, right? It's going to be so insignificant. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions to us that when you abandon your faith, you only leave yourself behind. You're not leaving anything else behind. You're not standing up to Allah. You're not disproving Allah. You're actually just standing up to yourself and leaving yourself behind. And others, he even goes as far as to say, others will see the beauty of this faith and your spot will be filled in quickly. And then he gives the beautiful example, Azza wa Jal, he tells us that, you know, don't you remember the time when the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and Abu Bakr Siddiq, when they were by themselves and they were alone in the cave and nobody else was with them? So don't think that your position in this faith is something that the faith is lucky to have, right? No one in Islam is able to say, you know what, Islam is lucky to have me. Rather, we should all say to ourselves, I'm so lucky to have Islam. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that at that moment, it was just Abu Bakr and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they had nobody with them, but they were still in faith as strong as they are today. And so they didn't have support then, and they're not going to need your support now. Ultimately, it's a misprioritization of that relationship. We need Islam. Islam doesn't need us.
إنما النسيء زيادة في الكفر يضل به الذين كفروا يحلونه عاما ويحرمونه عاما ليواطئوا عدة ما حرم الله فيحلوا ما حرم الله زين لهم سوء أعمالهم والله لا يهدي القوم الكافرين يا أيها الذين آمنوا ما لكم إذا قيل لكم انفروا في سبيل الله اثاقلتم إلى الأرض أرضيتم بالحياة الدنيا من الآخرة فما متاع الحياة الدنيا في الآخرة إلا قليل إلا تنفروا يعذبكم عذابا أليما ويستبدل قوما غيركم ولا تضروه شيئا والله على كل شيء قدير إلا تنصروه فقد نصره الله إذ أخرجه الذين كفروا ثاني اثنين إذ هما في الغار إذ يقول لصاحبه لا تحزن إن الله معنا فأنزل الله سكينته عليه وأيده بجنود لم تروها وجعل كلمة الذين كفروا السفلى وكلمة الله هي العليا والله عزيز حكيم.
The next page, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that commitment to Allah is both in times of ease and difficulty. That if it was always going to be easy, then everybody would have done it. That it's, you know, part of the way in which faith works is that there is difficulty to test our sincerity and to see if we can go forth. The example that's given, and Allah Ta'ala brings up the hypocrites now directly, he says that those hypocrites, when it's time to go out and defend the community, they're the ones that have all the excuses. They're the ones that say, you know, I can't make it, or I have some sort of responsibility. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, because he's so merciful and because he doesn't know exactly what's in their hearts besides what Allah tells him, he lets them go. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here tells the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that, you know, if you give these people permission, they're always going to lie to you. They're always going to take advantage of the situation. Rather, we should hold ourselves to this idea that faith makes us committed to Allah regardless, whether the situation is easy or tough, whether we're running late or we're running early, we pray. Whether we're struggling financially or having, you know, it's payday, we pay zakat. Whether we're hungry or not hungry that day, we fast. You know, whether or not we feel like it, it's not a question of our commitment. Our commitment should always be there to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger.
انفروا خفافا وثقالا وجاهدوا بأموالكم وأنفسكم في سبيل الله ذلكم خير لكم إن كنتم تعلمون لو كان عرضا قريبا وسفرا قاصدا لاتبعوك ولكن بعدت عليهم الشقة وسيحلفون بالله لو استطعنا لخرجنا معكم يهلكون أنفسهم والله يعلم إنهم لكاذبون عفى الله عنك لما أذنت لهم حتى يتبين لك الذين صدقوا وتعلم الكاذبين لا يستأذنك الذين يؤمنون بالله واليوم الآخر أن يجاهدوا بأموالهم وأنفسهم والله عليم بالمتقين إنما يستأذنك الذين لا يؤمنون بالله واليوم الآخر وارتابت قلوبهم فهم في ريبهم يترددون ولو أرادوا الخروج لأعدوا له عدة ولكن كره الله بعاثهم فثبطهم وقيل اقعدوا مع القاعدين لو خرجوا فيكم ما زادوكم إلا خبالا ولا أوضعوا خلالكم يبغونكم الفتنة وفيكم سماعون لهم والله عليم بالظالمين.
The next page, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, and from the previous page into the next page, how to deal with the hypocrites in the community. Those people who, and he identifies this, they put themselves above Islam. So Islam is nice as long as it matches what I want. But as soon as what I want goes against what Islam tells me, then I start to try to, you know, make negotiations. And so you see that, you know, in ayah number 49 and ayah number 50, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us the story of the hypocrites who they are trying to strategize with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when it comes to going out and fighting war, which is the example here. and they're saying, let me just stay home. Don't test me. Don't, you know, this is too difficult for me. Allah Ta'ala says, you've already been put in the test. Like, this is the test. The test is whether or not you're going to go out. It's not whether or not, you know, you win the battle or not. And then Allah Ta'ala says that he now reveals, he peels back the curtain a little bit. And he says that if anything good happens to you, it actually distresses them. If anything good happens to the ummah, the hypocrites don't like it. And if anything bad happens, they say, we told you so, right? Because again, why? It's not about the ummah. It's not about Islam. It's about them being right. And so the response that the believer has that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us, so beautiful. He says, the believer should say, we're never going to be struck by anything except that which Allah ta'ala has already written for us. So we don't lose faith when something bad happens, because we already know that that bad, quote unquote, was written for us by Allah, and everything that is bad, quote unquote, is ultimately leading to something good, even if it's something as simple as I lose my sins when I go through something difficult. And Allah Ta'ala is the one who believers rely upon.
لقد ابتغوا الفتنة من قبل وقلبوا لك الأمور حتى جاء الحق وظهر أمر الله وهم كارهون ومنهم من يقول ائذن لي ولا تفتني ألا في الفتنة سقطوا وإن جهنم لمحيطة بالكافرين إن تصبك حسنة تسؤهم وإن تصبك مصيبة يقولوا قد أخذنا أمرنا من قبل ويتولوا وهم فرحون قل لن يصيبنا إلا ما كتب الله لنا هو مولانا وعلى الله فليتوكل المؤمنون قل هل تربصون بنا إلا إحدى الحسنيين ونحن نتربص بكم أن يصيبكم الله بعذاب من عنده أو بأيدينا فتربصوا إنا معكم متربصون قل أنفقوا طوعا أو كرها لن يتقبل منكم إنكم كنتم قوما فاسقين وما منعهم أن تقبل منهم نفقاتهم إلا أنهم كفروا بالله وبرسوله ولا يأتون الصلاة إلا وهم كسالى ولا ينفقون إلا وهم كارهون.
And this is where, subhanAllah, the end of this page that Hafiz Shahir just read, this is where it turns from us talking about a group of people to us talking about maybe ourselves. May Allah protect us. And Allah Ta'ala says that these people, that they don't come to prayer except that they're lazy with it. And they don't spend except that which is, they're like, you know, tight-fisted. They don't want to give. And these are things that, subhanAllah, could be descriptions of many people, myself included, who describe ourselves as Muslims. So we ask Allah Ta'ala to protect us from being amongst the hypocrites. This is a serious thing. The next page, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us that even if somebody has apparent prosperity in their life, that should never be a way in which we judge whether or not somebody is on good terms with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or not. Wealth is not something that we think is a ultimate blessing from Allah. Wealth is a test like anything else. You know, we don't look at any people or country or person and say, well, Allah must love them because they have everything that they want. We understand that true success is those people who will be with Allah in the afterlife, in the gardens, with the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the afterlife. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us of that on this next page.
فلا تعجبك أموالهم ولا أولادهم إنما يريد الله ليعذبهم بها في الحياة الدنيا وتزهق أنفسهم وهم كافرون ويحلفون بالله إنهم لمنكم وما هم منكم ولكنهم قوم يفرقون لو يجدون ملجأ أو مغارات أو مدخلا لولوا إليه وهم يجمعون ومنهم من يلمزك في الصدقات فإن أعطوا منها رضوا وإن لم يعطوا منها إذا هم يسخطون ولو أنهم رضوا ما آتاهم الله ورسوله وقالوا حسبنا الله سيؤتينا الله من فضله ورسوله إنا إلى الله راغبون إنما الصدقات للفقراء والمساكين والعاملين عليها والمؤلفة قلوبهم وفي الرقاب والغارمين وفي سبيل الله وابن السبيل فريضة من الله والله عليم حكيم ومنهم الذين يؤذون النبي ويقولون هو أذن قل أذن خير لكم يؤمن بالله ويؤمن للمؤمنين ورحمة للذين آمنوا منكم والذين يؤذون رسول الله
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala finishes off the last page by reminding us that however you view the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is how he's going to be in your life. If you view him as just being a utility or a function or something that's just there, then you're not going to see the value in him. You're not going to be able to take advantage of the mercy that he provides. but rather Allah Ta'ala clarifies and defends the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam very vehemently and says that he is goodness, he is khair for those people who believe in Allah and those people who are with the believers, and he is a mercy to anyone who believes in Islam. And Allah Ta'ala says, for anyone who decides to abuse the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then they're going to have a huge punishment. So the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam here is being defended by Allah Ta'ala directly. Into the next page, when Allah Ta'ala gives us a little bit into the psychology of the hypocrite, and he says that they try their best to swear by Allah to get the satisfaction and the validation of the community. So they do want to be accepted, but ultimately they only want to be accepted for their own selfish means, right? And they make everything about the reality. They make everything about what they want, is what they prefer to be what is right over what is wrong. So they ultimately, the only thing the hypocrite can do, they can't even see the argumentation or the logic from Islam. They only see whether they want something or whether they don't want something. That is what is right and that is what is wrong. If I want it, it's right. If I don't want it, then it's wrong. And again, this is another description that could fall into the lap of many of us Muslims. May Allah protect us from this. So ultimately, they're cheap people. They don't follow what Islam says. They let themselves become the barometer. They don't give a lot of charity, and they've ignored Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so they fall into this horrible trap of constant disobedience. May Allah protect us.
يحلفون بالله لكم ليرضوكم والله ورسوله أحق أن يرضوه إن كانوا مؤمنين ألم يعلموا أنه من يحادد الله ورسوله فأن له نار جهنم خالدا فيها ذلك الخزي العظيم يحذر المنافقون أن تنزل عليهم سورة تنبئهم بما في قلوبهم قل استهزئوا إن الله مخرج ما تحذرون ولئن سألتهم ليقولن إنما كنا نخوض ونلعب قل أبالله وآياته ورسوله كنتم تستهزئون لا تعتذروا قد كفرتم بعد إيمانكم إن نعفو عن طائفة منكم نعذب طائفة بأنهم كانوا مجرمين المنافقون والمنافقات بعضهم من بعض يأمرون بالمنكر وينهون عن المعروف ويقبضون أيديهم نسوا الله فنسيهم إن المنافقين هم الفاسقون وعد الله المنافقين والمنافقات والكفار نار جهنم خالدين فيها هي حسبهم ولعنهم الله ولهم عذاب مقيم.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us in the next page a beautiful rhetoric that he provides to the disbelievers and to those people who are hypocrites, you know, together, and he'll join them together later, where he tells them that you're not unique. You know, there are people in history who had much more than you do, who had much more prosperity than you do. And ultimately they enjoyed their worldly life and you're enjoying your worldly life, but ultimately you're gonna end up being from the losers. Again, this is a very deep point that Allah Ta'ala is giving us, that if we look around us and we look at history and we try to raise the barometer of who Allah is pleased with by how much somebody has or how much wealth, or, you know, these are really dangerous ways to measure Allah's happiness because they're just not true. And if you look in history and you find that the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam slept on a straw mat that when he woke up in the morning, it caused indentations to be in his side. And this caused Umar ibn Khattab to weep one time. He said, "Ya Rasulullah, the kings and the queens and the palaces, they're sleeping on amazing, you know, amazing mattresses filled with feathers and silk and everything. And you, Ya Rasulullah, you're the last messenger of God to all of humanity. And you have to sleep like this?" Like, it bothered Umar out of his love for the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam smiled and responded. He said, "Ya Umar, wouldn't you rather have it in the next life? Isn't that when you'd rather have it?" So we've never been a people that have judged godliness or God's acceptance by wealth. And we can't start now. That's not something that we do. We always, always judge our station with Allah by how close we are to Him via our worship of Him.
كالذين من قبلكم كانوا أشد منكم قوة وأكثر أموالا وأولادا فاستمتعوا بخلاقهم فاستمتعتم بخلاقكم كما استمتع الذين من قبلكم بخلاقهم وخضتم كالذي خاضوا أولئك حبطت أعمالهم في الدنيا والآخرة وأولئك هم الخاسرون ألم يأتهم نبأ الذين من قبلهم قوم نوح وعاد وثمود ثمود وقوم إبراهيم وأصحاب مدين والمؤتفكات أتتهم رسلهم بالبينات فما كان الله ليظلمهم ولكن كانوا أنفسهم يظلمون والمؤمنون والمؤمنات بعضهم أولياء بعض يأمرون بالمعروف وينهون عن المنكر ويقيمون الصلاة ويؤتون الزكاة ويطيعون الله ورسوله أولئك سيرحمهم الله إن الله عزيز حكيم وعد الله المؤمنين والمؤمنات جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها ومساكن طيبة في جنات عدن ورضوان من الله أكبر ذلك هو الفوز العظيم.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the end of that page gives us something so powerful. I know I'm going over time. I'll be done in a couple of minutes inshallah. Where he mentions all of the different pleasures of Jannah, and then he says, وَرَضْوَانُ مِنَ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ, that Allah Ta'ala's pleasure is the greatest form. If you just think about that, it like makes your heart shake, subhanAllah. Like when we think about Jannah, there's so many different tangible things that we're chasing, but don't you just want Allah to be happy with you? Like, isn't that just what you want? Isn't that just what you seek? Like, it doesn't matter ultimately the palaces and everything in Jannah. Like, don't you just want to wake up and know that Allah loves you and He's happy with you? And that's what Allah Ta'ala is promising us, that in Jannah, we're never going to have that question again. It's never going to be a battle. It's not going to be us going back and forth, but we're going to wake up knowing that Allah Ta'ala loves me and He's happy with me and I'm not displeasing Him at any moment with anything that I'm doing. I ask Allah Ta'ala to make us amongst those people. In the next page, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala groups together finally, very clearly, the hypocrites and the disbelievers, and He puts them in one group. And this is a powerful moment because their inner states are now being revealed. So remember, a person who openly rejects is called a kafir. A person who internally rejects but externally is acting Muslim is a munafiq. So now Allah Ta'ala is saying that actually they're the same. And in fact, the munafiqeen are even worse because they're the ones that are hiding it. So Allah Ta'ala, He aligns their inner states, which is scary for us because it's easy for a person to act like a believer but unfortunately be aligned with those who reject. May Allah protect us from that. One of the signs of hypocrisy that He mentions in this page is something that I hope and pray that Allah Ta'ala protects all of us from, which is ayah number 75, which is, if Allah Ta'ala gives us, then we will give, right? If Allah Ta'ala gives us, then we will give. And then number 76 is Allah Ta'ala gave them and they didn't give, subhanAllah, that they barter with God. And they're such horrible business people that even when they barter and Allah holds up His end of the bargain, they don't hold up theirs. This is a pure sign of hypocrisy. Number one, we never barter with Allah. We ask Allah and we never say, oh Allah, if you give me this, then I'll do what you want. We do what Allah wants us to do and we ask of Allah Ta'ala and we don't make those two things conditional. The second thing is that whenever Allah Ta'ala gives us something and He asks us to give from that, then we do give that. Allah gave us time and health, so we pray. Allah gave us food, so we fast. Allah gave us money, so we give zakat. Allah gave us our life, so we do hajj. Allah gives us things, and we always give back from that. We never try to negotiate or make it transactional. And Allah Ta'ala finishes the page by telling us that hypocrites violate over and over and over and over again with no repentance. If they repented, it'd be different. But since they don't repent, it's like they're letting the cement of disbelief dry. You know, the cement is wet for a while. They could get it out and they could clean it and make sure that they don't fall into disbelief. But when they don't repent, there's no cleaning happening. And so the cement becomes drier and drier and drier until finally one day the cement completely solidifies and it's no longer now just hypocrisy. Now it is sheer and utter disbelief. May Allah Ta'ala protect us from that.
يا أيها النبي جاهد الكفار والمنافقين واغلظ عليهم ومأواهم جهنم وبئس المصير يحلفون بالله ما قالوا ولقد قالوا كلمة الكفر وكفروا بعد إسلامهم وهموا بما لم ينالوا وما نقموا إلا أن أغناهم الله ورسوله من فضله فإن يتوبوا يكو خيرا لهم وإن يتولوا يعذبهم الله عذابا أليما من في الدنيا والآخرة وما لهم في الأرض من ولي ولا نصير ومنهم من عاهد الله لئن آتانا من فضله لنصدقن ولنكونن من الصالحين فلما آتاهم من فضله بخلوا به وتولوا وهم معرضون فأعقبهم نفاقا في قلوبهم إلى يوم يلقونه بما أخلفوا الله ما وعدوه وبما كانوا يكذبون يعلمون ألم يعلموا أن الله يعلم سرهم ونجواهم وأن الله علام الغيوب الذين يلمزون المطوعين من المؤمنين في الصدقات والذين لا يجدون إلا جهدهم فيسخرون منهم سخر الله منهم ولهم عذاب أليم.
SubhanAllah, Allah Ta'ala finishes the previous page and now goes into the next page with such a strong statement, man. It makes your heart, it makes your like hair stand up. It says that these people, they criticize those people from the believers who are giving whatever they can, and they do whatever they can, but they ridicule no matter what. They're always making fun of any goodness, any good thing that's happening. These people, they find a way to ridicule it, right? They can never just say MashaAllah. They can never say Alhamdulillah. They're always trying to make light of the religion. And as a result of that, Allah Ta'ala tells the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, this very powerful ayah number 80, he says, if you ask forgiveness for them, or if you don't ask forgiveness for them, it's not going to matter. Even if you ask forgiveness 70 times, which in Arabic means as much as you want, Allah will never forgive these kinds of people. That is because, why? They disbelieved in Allah and His Messenger, and Allah Ta'ala doesn't guide those people who are defiantly disobedient. Like, they're just like, you know what, I don't even care. So this is ultimately the promise Allah Ta'ala is making about those people who have let hypocrisy take over their hearts. Another sign that Allah Ta'ala gives in this page is that whenever it came time to do anything with regards to Islam, whether it was going out to battle, whether it was doing anything, Allah described them already as lazy in their prayer, as stingy in their charity. In the next ayah, Allah Ta'ala says that when it was time to go out and fight, everyone else was going and they were kind of laying back saying, it's hot. It's really hot outside. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds by saying, tell them, yeah, the fire of hell is hotter, right? The fire of hell is hotter. But these people don't understand, right? They just are too busy constructing excuses. You know that phrase they say, where there's a will, there's a way, that if you want to do something, you'll get it done. Where there's not a will, there's definitely not a way. If somebody doesn't want to do something, they're definitely not going to get it done. And that's to stay with the hypocrites. So then Allah ta'ala says, Ya Rasulullah, let them enjoy their life. Let them do what they want. At the end of the day, you've tried now. You've tried a decade to talk to these people. You've tried. You've given everything. You've prayed for them. You've given them money. You've softened their hearts. You spent time with them. And they're still not seeing the mercy that you are. Khalas, let them try and let them. And if these people now, when they see the reality setting in, if they want to come out with you just because they want to save face, tell them, no, you can stay back. It's fine. Ayah number 83. Until then, ayah number 84, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, don't pray over any of them. This is very strong language. He says, don't pray over any of them because they disbelieved in Allah and His Messenger and they died in that state. So even though they looked like they were Muslims and they were benefiting from the community, you know and I know that they were not Muslims. So don't let anything about them impress you, because ultimately they left this world rejecting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah ta'ala revealed the surah in order to teach us about these people. We ask Allah ta'ala to protect us. This is the last page of the juz.
استغفر لهم أو لا تستغفر لهم إن تستغفر لهم 70 مرة فلن يغفر الله لهم ذلك بأنهم كفروا بالله ورسوله والله لا يهدي القوم الفاسقين فرح المخلفون بمقعدهم خلاف رسول الله وكرهوا أن يجاهدوا بأموالهم وأنفسهم في سبيل الله وقالوا لا تنفروا في الحر قل نار جهنم أشد حرا لو كانوا يفقهون فليضحكوا قليلا وليبكوا كثيرا جزاء بما كانوا يكسبون فإن رجعك الله إلى طائفة منهم فاستأذنوك للخروج فقل لن تخرجوا معي أبدا ولن تقاتلوا معي عدوا إنكم رضيتم بالقعود أول مرة فاقعدوا مع الخالفين ولا تصل على أحد منهم مات أبدا ولا تقم على قبره إنهم كفروا بالله ورسوله وماتوا وهم فاسقون ولا تعجبك أموالهم وأولادهم إنما يريد الله أن يعذبهم بها في الدنيا وتزهق أنفسهم وهم كافرون وإذا أنزلت سورة أن آمنوا بالله وجاهدوا مع رسوله استأذنك أولو الطول منهم وقالوا ذرنا نكن مع
Jazakumullah khairan, sadaqallahu al-azim. May Allah reward you for every letter, half the shahir, mashallah. May Allah Ta'ala bless you, inshallah, and bless your family. Everyone make dua for our hufaz, and make dua that Allah Ta'ala keeps their throats healthy for this month, that we can keep benefiting from the beautiful recitation, inshallah. I'll see you in class on Tuesday, inshallah. Barakallahu feekum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Everybody, we're done for tonight. I'm sorry I went over time. I still didn't go over Sheikh Abdul Nasser's time, though, so that's okay. Alhamdulillah. But we'll conclude with this, inshallah. You know, the one thing that I always think about when I read verses about disbelievers or hypocrites, you know, again, the ones that Allah Ta'ala identified, I'm not identifying these people, is that Umar bin Khattab, radiallahu anhu, he actually had a very famous statement that's so beautiful, where he said that, you know, whenever I hear the Quran, I always assume that Allah is talking to me. That's my default disposition, that when the Quran is being recited, I don't mark myself as safe or unsafe based off of who's being spoken to. Because I know that ultimately every human is susceptible, every human is vulnerable, every human can stumble. And so if Allah Ta'ala is talking about a certain kind of problem or a disease in the heart of a person, I'm not immune to that, right? And this is Umar bin Khattab telling us this. So my advice to everybody from tonight especially, I know that this surah is very heavy in discussing the munafiqeen. Don't ever let that make us feel like we're safe and we can take a break, because ultimately that's one of their signs, right? That they kind of just took a break. But we should kind of be more vigilant in looking at those signs. And even if we're not hypocrites, inshallah, we're not. We all love Allah and His Messenger. Even if we're not hypocrites, ultimately, we don't even want to look like them. We don't want to smell like them. We don't want to have anything to do with them. So we're going to try to rid ourselves of every characteristic that we see. Barakallahu feekum, everybody. May Allah Ta'ala bless you in Ramadan. One third is done. May Allah Ta'ala give us more barakah on our time for the rest of it. And I want to ask everybody, inshallah, head on over to supportqalam.com. You know what to do. I'm not going to make the ask, but you know what to do. And we love teaching and serving everybody. And we just hope, inshallah, that you can help us continue to do so. May Allah Ta'ala bless you and your families. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.